All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going to continue on with now spiritual gifts. And last week was some foundational stuff. Might have seen a hard time of how it connected, but this is how Paul brought us in concerning the spiritual gifts. Not to be ignorant, they had a background with some pagan cultures, and some things had come in about some just wrong beliefs about the spiritual and the physical, and of course wrong beliefs about the person of Jesus Christ. And so those were addressed. They have a lot to do with it, because we see that it is not our experience. It's not about some super spiritual thing that I attained when I was on my own in some hidden place, that all of a sudden I got spiritual and now look at what I can do. You're going to see that that is not at all the case as we go through the next couple verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But let me ask you a question. What would be, in your estimation, the greatest starting lineup in a particular, let's say a football, you know, on a football team? What would you, now I know everyone is not football fans, and you wouldn't know, and you say, I don't know, I don't care. You know, you'd probably say, you know, probably you, Pastor Madrid, and no, you wouldn't want me on that team, but you don't know any better, okay? But let's say you do know football. You know, who would be the greatest starting lineup? Okay, you start with a quarterback, and then you go to, you know, a running back, and some wide receivers, you know, some linemen there. Who would be on your team? You know, some people would be like, boy, if I'm going to pick a quarterback, this is who I'm going to pick. And if I'm going to pick this, this is who I'd pick. And we're talking about the greatest starting lineup that you could ever put together. Any team, any era, and put them all together. And this is, you say, now this is the team. Okay, this is the team. I could say the same thing for basketball, all right? Put together a group of five men that are going to be the greatest players on a basketball team that you could put together. And some of you are going to think through, okay, I would take this guy, you know, a couple guards, a couple forwards, and a center, you know, and this is the team. And then I say, okay, put together a coach, you know, with that team. And some of you would think through that. Some of you would say, I don't care about sports. All right, so the illustration doesn't work as much for you. Let me ask you another question, though, that will get you thinking. What would be the greatest starting lineup in a particular church? You could pick whatever preacher you got. You could pick whatever song leader. You could pick whatever piano player, whatever, you know, instruments were there. You could pick your own ushers. You could pick your own, and you guys are like, wow, this is really getting good. You could pick your own, you know, people that clean the church, people that, you know, at the front door. Well, I'd pick that guy at the door. Man, he's good. You know, okay, I know I'm being crazy with this, but you know, I wonder what, from a fan's perspective, you're a fan, you're an onlooker, and say, well, that is a good football team, that's a good basketball team, wow, that is a good church, that is an amazing church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. All right, let's look at verse 4. I don't have as long as I wish that I had tonight. Looking forward to the Lord's table, but I wish tonight wasn't on the night of the Lord's table, because I've got a battle here. How long I go? There is a lot of information here, but let's see how God leads. All right, look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're going to pick apart these, not word by word, but let me give you some key words here. So to help us understand this, again, we're building upon the spiritual gifts here. And he really starts to get in here to the spiritual gifts. And he says there's diversities of gifts. Diversities. I would say a good word that we can use here to help us understand a variety. You understand the word variety, right? Variety. There's a certain variety of things. It's not all of your eggs are not in the same basket, okay? There's a variety. A variety of things. And are these in diversities or varieties, are there differences? Of course there are. There's differences. In fact, that's what makes them diversities, or the variety. You go to the store and you get a variety pack, okay? You get potato chips. You're going to get a variety pack of potato chips, and there's going to be this brand and this kind and this flavor. You don't want all. You want a variety. You know, every day of work, you know, you go and you want to get a different, you know, bag of chips that you take. It's a variety. You know, it might be similar. It's food. It's chips. But there's a variety there. You don't want the same flavor, okay? There's a diversity. Now, he says there are diversities of gifts. There's a variety of gifts that are out there. Now, let's look at the word gifts just for a moment. So there's a diversity, there's a variety, there's different gifts out there. Gifts, understand gifts, are only acquired at and through salvation. Gifts, remember I mentioned this morning about Paul saying he's going to show up and he wanted to give them some spiritual gifts. This is not any individual that can hand out gifts. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit gives us, and it comes from Him, gives us ways in which we are motivated to serve the body of Christ. What's the difference between a gift, a spiritual gift, and a talent, ability? I think that you probably could all take a good shot at, you know, at that and understand that. But I would say the biggest thing is that a spiritual gift can only be something that a Christian, a believer, can have. Anyone, believer or non-believer, can have a talent and have an ability, right? Understand that. Are there abilities out there in the world? Wow, there's some amazing abilities. There's some amazing talents. And to tell you the truth, there are amazing talents right here in this room. But they're not gifts. Okay? Gifts are meant, they're something given by God, the Holy Spirit, to edify the body of Christ. But it is not a talent. It is not an ability. There are ways in which believers are motivated to cause or to see people to grow in Christ. I want you to think just for a moment. Do you have a desire? When you look at our church here, and the church is not the carpet, and it's not the piano, and it's not the lights, and it's not the physical building. We're talking about the people. When you think about Faith Bible Church, do you desire that people grow in Christ? Now, I hope that you do. I hope that you have a desire that the body of Christ would grow in Him. I hope that you do. My question beyond that, though, let's assume that you do. You know, if I were to ask you, I say, hey, do you desire that our church grow in Christ? I would hope that you really do. Let's assume that you do. My question then to you is how, what ways it do you, what is exciting to you to see someone grow? Some of you would say, I love to see people, the lights turn on with knowledge in the scriptures. I love to do that. You know, you might be a person that is a teacher, that has got a gift of teaching, and I say educating, maybe that's not the greatest word, but you like to, well, I liked how I put it there, the light's turning on in people's eyes about spiritual things. You really enjoy that. For others, you say, you know what, I absolutely love to see a hurting person comforted with maybe a tear in my eye or something, you know, an arm around them. I absolutely love to comfort, see people that are maybe going through a difficult thing. I've gone through some things, similar things like this, and I love to spread that. You know, it could be that you have, you know, the gift of mercy. And there's all kinds of different ways. You say, you know what, please don't give me any of those. I don't have that mercy, but I really, you know, really, it's just satisfying to go in even when no one's there and to do some work and I don't get any attention, but some jobs get done. Now, we're going to get into these a little bit later, further down the line. But when we're talking about gifts, I believe one of the simplest ways that we can name them or at least identify what that term means is ways in which God has gifted you, motivated you, excited you of ways that I can be a blessing to my other brothers and sisters. Ways that I can help encourage them to grow in Christ and be fulfilled in that way. Now, we will talk a whole lot more about that. He starts off by saying there's a variety of different gifts. Now, put that on the shelf because we will come back to that later, not tonight. But there's just different gifts that God gives, that the Holy Spirit gives every, and you need to understand that, folks, listen to this. You need to understand that there are a diversity, a variety of gifts. Because if you are Lay's original, you can easily get frustrated at the Cool Ranch Dorito. Because he's just nothing like you. In shape, in taste, in smell, size. You know, and you can easily say, that guy stinks. Cool Ranch, what's that? Now, I know I'm being funny with this, but folks, I want to tell you something. People in church have a hard time understanding that everybody's not gifted just like them. And I'm getting quickly into some application that we're going to get much deeper. But folks, I want to tell you something. We need to understand that God, from God, He made the body diverse. And that's one of the first things that you need to get is because if everybody, see, we tend to think of what God has given to us and everybody ought to do that. And we get frustrated at the people that will not do this. I don't understand why they can't volunteer to do that. My friend, I want to tell you, they were not gifted. Now, we all ought to be involved in what is right. And by the way, we don't play the card that says, listen, that's not my gift. If God wants us to do it, we all ought to be merciful. We all ought to serve. We all ought to teach. We all ought to lead in some way. We all ought to give. There's a lot of gifts that we're going to go through. But it doesn't, everybody's motivated differently. But just as you are motivated in a certain way, and you it's so easy to get frustrated and sit there and think, I don't understand why none of these, why don't they do this? You know, I met the last five needs in the church, you know, with different people. I don't understand. Where's everybody else? Is there nobody else that has some money to give? But you see, they could be motivated in a different way, and they might be looking at you and saying, I don't understand why that person doesn't even care. You know, I told them about a hard thing going on, and all they did was crack a joke and walk away. Understand that there's a diversity of gifts. And I want to tell you that it is a blessing that it is a diversity. Now, we're going to look at three things here. There's a diversity of gifts. That's the first one. We look at them in a certain way. This, because God gives the body as an illustration. These are the individual parts of the body that do work. Those individual parts comprise different systems, right? We've got different systems in our body. Systems that fight off sickness. Systems that sense things. Systems that supply energy. We have different systems in our body. And then we have different actions from those systems that display themselves in activity. That's kind of the way they're divided up here. First of all, we have a diversity of gifts. So just, we're going to get into gifts much deeper later, but just understand that there's a variety of ways that people are motivated to serve, and God gave those. So don't get frustrated with other people and that they're motivated to serve differently. Because it's not their fault. God gave it. Okay, now that's just superficial. Let's move on to the next one. We see there are differences of administration. Let's look at the word administrations here. Gifts are motivations for people to serve or to edify the body of Christ. Administrations are different ministries. I mentioned that about the system. You know, there's a certain system that does certain things. You know, in the church, there are different ministries. There's an educational side to the ministry. There's ministries that educate people. There's teaching and discipleship. Wanting these people to grow and get, you know, this is the person that likes to see the light turn on with students or a disciple that you're working with. You know, the same gift can be used in a variety of different ministries, right? You might like teaching, but you could teach children. You might teach adults. So age could be a different, the size, not of the people, the size of the group. I mean, you know, God might give you the gift of teaching, but you really, He really helps you with large groups. And some of you say, you know what, I don't use that, but I would really enjoy an individual. You see, there's a diversity and variety, not only in individual gifts that we do, but in certain types of ministries. And so there are different ministries. And boy, when you throw this all in, you see that there is a lot of variety here. There's individual body parts. There's different systems within our body. And those systems are just, they're just altogether different, but they all are helping the body to grow and to do what they need to do. So administrations are ministries, if you want to look at it that way. Again, the same gift can be used in a variety of different ministries or ways to serve, and there's a lot of different variety. Again, age or the size or the, maybe it's the content. Maybe you really enjoy teaching the fundamental truths to children, the basics in the Bible, the basics of salvation, the basics of sanctification. Maybe you enjoy, you know, getting into prophecy, and that would be altogether different, but yet it's still the same gift, but a different ministry. Okay, have I lost you? Do you understand that so far? Okay, so we have different gifts. We have different administrations. What's the third one in verse 6? And there are diversities of operations. Okay, what's an operation? Now, this is an interesting one, operation. So we have different gifts, different motivations of how to be a blessing to the body of Christ. We have different systems, or we have different ministries in which we can use those gifts. Different types of ministry, different sizes, different whatever of a type of a ministry that I can use that same gift in. And then we have operations. And this word operations, it's the energy in which something is worked out. You know, I've got individual body parts that work together with a system, and the system then carries out a function. Same thing here. This is the energy in which it takes to do it. It's worked out. And even its effectiveness. Now, all of the gifts and administrations and operations all come from who? God. Now, we have three different ways in which God's named here, right? Did you notice that the Trinity is here? We've got the Spirit, and we've got the Lord, Jesus Christ, when we have God, you know, the Father. But all these things, the gifts, the individual things, the body parts that God gives for specific functions, in next, their administrations, their systems, their different ministries, And then their different operations and their energy and their ability and their effectiveness to do certain things. All of these come from God. And I'm going to come back to these three things in just a moment. They're not just from a God, some godly or spiritual person. The source is God. Now that's very important to understand gifts. This is a thing from God. We don't pick our gifts. God gives them. God is the one. God picks the gifts. God picks the ministries. God picks the operations. So we understand that the source is of God. Now let's look at these three things just for a moment. Gifts, administrations, and operations. Again, worked out in a variety of ways. I want you to understand something, that every one of these things, you know, God is the one that chose that gift, you know, that body part, you know, so, you know, you're a toe, whatever it is. And that toe has got its function. Now that toe might seem very insignificant to the rest of the body, but God gave that thing, and this is the first thing he mentions, is the same source. God is the one that's given all these things. And if God gives that, then we ought not underestimate it or overestimate it. We understand that God saw that it was necessary. God put it there, and that is a gift from that. That's a blessing from the Lord, and this whole church is going to benefit from what God put there. Very important. God put the gifts together. And as I look across the room, God has gifted this church exactly the way he wants it. He has put every individual muscle or nail or hair or whatever body part you are, he has perfectly placed you in this operation. And I start with gifts. He has given to you a gift or a few gifts and how to use that you can be a blessing to the people that are around you right here tonight and that were here this morning and come on Wednesday night and that frequent our church. He has gifted you. He has blessed you. He has given to you something that you can be a blessing to help them come closer to the Lord, to build them up, to strengthen them in Christ. He has gifted you that way. Furthermore, then he has given opportunities for you to be used in certain ministries. Hey, in this ministry over here, we could use somebody that can, and there's gifts, and there could be a few different people with that gift. And those people then can be used in this ministry to do this administration, this thing. And God is the one that places people in those. You know, does God know the ministries in our church and the need in our church? Yes, he does. And you know what? He has built and he's given enough. If I could just say, it's easy to talk about muscles and then muscle groups and systems. But he has given all the individual muscles that are needed to help this church to move forward for Christ and to help each other grow in Christ. But more than just the individual muscles, he's placed them in a group or a system so that certain jobs can be done. So that classes can be taught, or so that functions can be done, so that education can happen here, so that missions can happen, so that edification, so that groups in our church by age can be brought along, so that we can worship and serve the Lord through song or testimony. God has placed, he's given all the muscles, put different ministries there, and then thirdly, operations, he's given the power to do it. Now for gifts, we don't want to pick, because who made that muscle? God did. And although people like to say in the body that there's no purpose for that one, there is a purpose in God's body for every person. God also made the different services, the different ministries that are used. And God is the one that put these ministries together so that the church would function and edify the body of Christ. And we don't get critical of any muscle. We don't get critical of any system. And I think that makes sense, but can I tell you, we also ought not be critical of any any strength that's provided for any person. Now, here's what I want to say about that. And as my study, and this the light turned on with me on this one, you know, we see, thirdly, that there's a diversity of operations or energies or powers. You say, what does that mean? Do you know that it's very easy to look at some people and what they do, and sometimes things are very productive? Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some things are just productive. Like, wow, you know, we did this, and look at all the visitors, or look at all the people, or look at this, and well, that was... And then there are some things that are done, and we look and say, what did that produce? You know what I'm talking about? You know, like, what did that do? You know, with this ministry here, that doesn't really do much for the body. Question. Who's the one that supplies the gifts? God does, right? The Holy Spirit. Who's the one that supplies the different ministries? God does. Who's the one that supplies the energy? The effectiveness? It's the same God. You say, why do we take time looking at that? Because I want to tell you. Sometimes we categorize ministries by their effectiveness, and we say, well, that one's really good, and that one's big, and boy, all our eggs are in this basket over here, and then you got this one. You know, it's just ongoing. You know, it's the Sunday school class for the twos and the threes. And we don't see a lot of effectiveness. But friends, I want to tell you something. God is the one that supplied that, and it's up to Him. And we dare not look at people's effectiveness as something that they just have. No, it is God. And you can be just as faithful doing your job, and it doesn't matter the output necessarily, because God is the one that supplies that output. Now, just for a moment, I want to go back. You remember last week we talked about some of these people that, you know, they're energized, and they get all this stuff, and people look at them and say, wow. You see, that doesn't fly in God's business with gifts. It has nothing to do with an individual. It has everything to do with His gift. It has everything to do with His ministry. It has everything to do with His energy that He supplied to make things happen the way He wants to. And we have no business being critical or negative about anything that God has placed somebody to do, whether it seems to be a very effective thing or something that just seems to be one of those mundane things that's done every day, every week, every service, every year, that just goes on and on. And we say, well, that's probably not very, that's you know, that person must not be very spiritual. My friend, I want to tell you, we don't want to get into that game of looking around at the effectiveness, because all of these things have one source. God is the author of the spiritual gifts, the ministries, the purposes of all these things. And we've got to trust Him. My friend, I want to tell you something. In our church, you better trust the Lord with what's going on in the church. God is the one that answers. God is the one that will control it. God is the one that will take care of it. And it is not our job to look around and lift up some people and say, well, there. You know what? That's who I want on my team. But this is who I want doing that, because, man, you know, listen, I wish that we had this guy preaching, you know, to us every week. He can just do a tremendous job. Well, I just wish that we had this piano player, man. They can really bring a crowd alive, you know, when they play the piano. And I wish, you know, that's why I gave the first illustration, that I said, you know, we look and we pick our heroes, but I want to tell you something. It's not about a starting lineup that we can look around and pick. My friend, can I tell you something? God has picked the starting lineup, and He uses people just like you. See, if you are in the place where God has placed you, and if you're doing it, it doesn't matter what muscle or gift it is. You know what? You say, I wish God would have gifted me with prophecy. Why did He gift me with service? Why did He gift me with giving and not this? Or why didn't He? There is nothing better about any one of these things. They're all from God. The different services, the different ministries that He's given. You know, I say, boy, this ministry over here, boy, that's amazing. Look at all the people that are going to come to that. And I've got two 3-year-olds every week and I never get any more. My friend, it doesn't matter. As long as you are doing what God has called you to do. Do you see the point? And see, there's two effects from this. You've got the one person that feels like, and other people feel like, boy, they were given the deal. They've got the gifts, they've got the muscles, they've got the ministries. I wish I was in that ministry. And even sometimes they get the output. They get the fruit. It seems like, wow, look at the blessing there. Two things can come from that. Pride. And look at who I am. Look at what I can do. And look at, and I say, wait a second. Who made you the muscle that you are? God. Who put you in the ministry that you're in? God. And who supplied all the power that you are simply using? What's the answer? One source, folks. One source. But then on the other side of things, you got the person that's proud over here thinking that they've really got it because look at all this. You've got the other person on the other end that says, look, what do I have? I got nothing. This little gift? Nobody cares about this gift. This ministry? What kind of a ministry is this? No one recognizes this. No one sees this. Look at this output. Doesn't seem to be effective at all. Now, as a church, if there's, you know, there might be certain things that we try and it might not seem very effective, and that's what we need to discover. But listen, the point is this. If you are where God has placed you, did you catch that? If you're doing what God has placed you to do. Now, the problem is that there are many people that are not in the place that they're not doing anything. And we'll get to that later. But if you are doing what God has called you to do and the opportunities, the given, the gifts, the ministries, and whatever effectiveness that He has allowed to have, if you're doing what God has called you to do, no matter what age, no matter what size, no matter if in front of people, if you're doing what God has called you to do, you're under that one source. And who's that source? God. God ordained. Is that important to understand with gifts? I want to tell you something. It's very important. And you go either way and it will ruin a church. You get a bunch of proud people, ruin. You get a bunch of people that just have no confidence in the person of God and God's ability to use you and to do anything. And either way, is a church that is very ineffective for God. So if we can just recognize, wait a second, this is what God has made me and where He's placed me, then we can be used of the Lord. Kind of in the same predicament that I was this morning. Really quickly, look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Two things from this last verse, you know, we'll be done. Going to Lord's table. Notice the word manifestation. What does it mean to manifest? To make known or seen, right? To make manifest. It's like, okay, you were talking about this thing, and now I could describe this laser pointer. I could talk about it, but let's say I hadn't shown it yet. I could talk about it, but when I pick it up and I bring it out in a simple way, I'm manifesting it to you, right? I'm making it clear. Oh, I see it, and I might pass it around. And you can touch it. Now it's manifest to you, okay? But the manifestation of the Spirit. Listen to this. This is great. When the body of Christ is putting their gifts to action, when the body of Christ is using their gifts in their God-given ministries, when the body of Christ is using their gifts in different ministries and trusting the Lord with whatever output that He has for it, when churches, when individuals are doing that where God has placed him, it is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation of God. It's taking God, not that we can take God, and it's putting him on display so that people can see. Let me say that again. When God's people as individuals recognize what God has gifted them to do, and they do it. When God takes those gifted people and then puts them into a ministry to serve, and they serve. When God takes those individual gifts, gives them to people, puts them into different ministries, and they serve, and then God gives the increase however he wants to, whether it seems minimal or whether it seems a lot, what is being done is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this? It's putting God on display. That's not what I said, that's what God says. He says, if you want me to be on display at Faith Bible Church in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, then that means you need to learn about the spiritual gifts. That means you need to be happy with what God has given to you. You need to be plugged into a ministry, and you need to do it, and whatever output God gives, you're happy with. And when that is happening, and when I could go around and point, you know, to the 60 people that are here tonight, if I could do that, do you realize that if 60 people are just happily doing what God has called them to do in their different, with their gifts, their ministries, and leaving the output and effectiveness to God, and not judging or condemning or even praising others for whatever output that is, when we are just simply doing that, then God is lifted up. And I'll tell you what, when people look at Faith Bible Church, they'll see God. Didn't that sound good? Now, again, those were not my thoughts. Those were God's thoughts. And he said that. That's manifesting the Spirit of God right there. So is this important that we understand the spiritual gifts? It is very important because this is how we display God. Last year we learned that our love to other people displays God. And through this we're learning that our utilizing the gifts that he's given to us in the ministries, the effectiveness, that is making God known. Wow. Practicing gifts is an open display and work of the Holy Spirit. And just a side note, that's why spiritual gifts can never be done in private. You know, a lot of people exercise their spiritual gifts in private. You know, this person speaks in tongues. This person saw this happen in their own. Listen, that is no work of the Holy Spirit, because the work of the Spirit does not do anything to edify a certain person. God does it to manifest the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The person of God. Does that make sense? A lot of your cults out there are doing this secret stuff, and they've got all these stories to tell. Remember how we started? You know, they got all these secret things, and they saw this vision. They did this, and they spoke in tongues on their own. They got all this, and everybody lifts them up. And here God is saying, listen, that has nothing to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because gifts are used to magnify God in public. Okay? In public. We see God. And I apologize for going overboard. Just look at the last part of verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. And here we have the one benefactor here. Who benefits? I know God is honored and glorified, and that's our purpose. But who very practically benefits from my utilizing my gift? This is to every man to profit. With all, every single person. You see, the prophet is not personal, which also flies in the face of a lot of the people out there today that are so super spiritual. The point of me having a gift and doing this and raising these people up is not so that I can get a lot of money, I can be recognized on television. The point is this person's edified and encouraged and pushed towards the person of Jesus Christ. The prophet is not personal. The prophet is not private. The prophet is evidenced in the body of Christ for each other for the sake of the whole. And that sets apart spiritual gifts by themselves, apart from all the stuff that we see outside. One source, one purpose, one benefactor we see, and that is the body of Christ. Now, this is just a start. Okay, we've got more to go, but I love the start that he's given to us. Very good. I hope that you understand what's gone through. If you have questions, please ask. I'll try to get you some answers, but this is very important that we understand what God has placed. It also helps us understand why different people do different things. Listen, let's trust you. Just if everybody does their job. And by the way, that's a good plug for Christmas Eve. You just get plugged in however you can, and your spirit just to do whatever, and you're not looking at productivity, you're not looking at out, you're just doing what God's called you to do. Listen, God's going to do some amazing things with it. We leave that to the Lord, because it's from Him. We just simply do what we're supposed to do. Listen, I hope that this is a help as we continue to dive through. We've got a ton to go through. At this rate, we'll never make it before the rapture. Ever, ever, ever. But I don't really care. I want you to understand this as best we can. And so we're going to continue to go through just as fast as the Lord leads. Father, I thank you for that what you've given to us. And I pray that you would help us to understand truth from your word. And I pray that in the end, whenever that is, I pray that it just be much more understanding, but not just understanding, that it help us to function properly within our church, and that we would have the right attitude towards the people that we're serving together with. And Lord, we can expect you to do great and mighty things, because this is your plan and what you've given to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's not delay. Let's go ahead and have the men come that are going to serve the Lord's table tonight. You